Hi there. My name is Bill, and today I'd like to talk to you about fear and relinquishment. You know, while worrying about the future is common to everyone, it doesn't mean we just have to live with it. Jesus tells us that we don't have to worry about tomorrow, and the Bible gives us the practice of relinquishment as a way to be free of our worries and fears. Relinquishment is all about taking the burden of anxiety off of our shoulders and asking God to carry it for us. Relinquishment is a wonderful exchange. We give God our anxiety, and God gives us profound peace. Let's begin by asking God to help you identify a specific situation in your life that's causing you to be worried or fearful. If no situation has come to mind yet, pause the recording and take whatever time you need. Wait patiently and listen for God to bring to mind a situation you need to relinquish. Then come on back and we'll begin step one. Now that you have your situation in mind, do step one. Admit to God that what you fear most in this situation might actually happen. When we admit that our worst fears may actually come true, we deal honestly with reality. We stop pretending, and we begin the process of relinquishing our fears to God. Facing reality is the necessary first step in finding true relief from our worries, fears, and anxiety. Now go ahead and do step one. Admit to God that what you fear might actually happen. Okay, let's move on to step two, where we place the situation into God's hands as best we can. In the quiet of your heart, pray something like, God, I want to be able to open my heart and my hands to fully place this in your care. Help me to entrust this situation to you. Go ahead. In your own words, place the situation in God's hands. Here's an example. Frank couldn't breathe. Those four words, were there any more terrifying? Hit him in the chest like a locomotive. As he glanced over at Polly, she looked calm. But he couldn't breathe. The cancer is back. Polly's oncologist had not sugarcoated the message. I'm so sorry. We thought we had gotten it all, but it's back, and it's spread pretty aggressively. You could have months, maybe a year, but there's no way to know for sure. Polly sighed. I had an idea this was coming. My body just hasn't felt right. And at least now I can stop worrying about what it might be. Wait, Frank interjected. Isn't there something more we can do? Is that it? No, Frank, Polly said. I don't want to go through more chemo. I want to work for a few more months, and then enjoy the time I have left with you and the kids and grandkids. The ride home was quiet. Polly seemed almost serene, while Frank's mind was spinning. He had already been worried for months about whether they were financially ready for their retirement years. He knew he needed to have a review with a financial advisor, and just this morning, he'd gotten up the courage to stop procrastinating and schedule a meeting later in the month. And now this. Money concerns suddenly seemed unimportant in the light of Polly's diagnosis. It's going to be okay, honey, Frank reassured Polly when they got home. We have to have hope. Nothing is for certain. Frank usually turned to optimism as his way of dealing with trouble when things looked bad. But his external optimism never seemed to keep his stomach from churning during the day, or his mind from racing in the wee hours.